Hey, Tony.
Joel, we just saw Deadpool 2, and
don't lie. Why? We don't have to try to save face. We had a mandate. We went and saw book club. Everything
is
was
that
good.
Out right now?
Yeah, it's on. We could have seen it tonight. We missed it.
Gosh.
We missed our chance to have man time with book club. Is that movie just about old ladies watching reading 50 Shades of Grey?
I don't know. I we can still see the poster from here at the Palms 10 movie theater, and I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen enough previews for it. And Papa, can you hear me?
Nicely done.
We saw Ryan Reynolds. So
it bothers me because I think we just have to spoil things a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
So if you want to see Deadpool 2 and you don't want to have things spoiled, hit pause. Thank you for subscribing to the 1C Buffer podcast, hopefully.
Right.
And tune in maybe after you go see the movie this weekend. But he's ruined one of my favorite songs of Do You Want to Build a Snowman?
Right.
I sing that song all the time at home because I have little kids.
Deadpool dies, but then he comes back. That was your spoiler after the spoiler warning. This movie is just a lot like the first one. It starts and you're just in it. You're in Ryan Reynolds's world that he's crafted. And I think what I come back to, I'm a huge Ryan Reynolds fan. I think we would both agree. We both have been following Ryan's career for a long time.
Van Wilder. I was in college when Van Wilder came out. And then I was a sixth-year senior and had people call me Van Wilder, which isn't a good thing to have. But yes, Ryan Reynolds, don't look anything like him, but I've loved the guy's career.
He's so talented. And a couple of years ago, he got a small amount of money by comparison, and he went out and made Deadpool, and it was so successful that all of a sudden 20th Century Fox was like, okay, we get this.
Franchise.
But they still didn't give him that much more. Like, in comparison, Infinity War had like a $300 million budget, not counting marketing, and Deadpool 2 probably, maybe this one broke the $100 million, which is good because this opening weekend, and we're recording this on Friday, the 18th of May, the opening weekend numbers, projection-wise, are $130 million, which is fantastic.
Well, I think the thing, too, is they're different things. I mean, Infinity War had 10 years of buildup, and you know, it took Ryan Reynolds 10 years to get them to make the first Deadpool movie. I think the difference is this is like what Ryan Reynolds didn't have that super artsy film that he wanted to write and direct, and that he didn't have his Goodwill Hunting, if you will, in his portfolio. He loved this character as a child. Like, Deadpool was his go-to comic book, and he wanted to make it into a movie, and so that's what he's done. And the sequel, I think the thing that's great is you don't have to have seen the first Deadpool to enjoy this movie. I admit it, and I am not a comic book aficionado.
Same.
And I have loved these movies because I know kind of everybody on the surface, but I don't care. I just get to go and laugh. And hard rated R, folks. This movie is a hard R. I think they may have been like a South Park bigger, longer, uncut, where they had to back it off to get out of that NC-17 world. But man,
don't bring the kids, please. So if we kind of like skip through what you're gonna see when you sit down, there's our friend Wade Wilson, aka Deadpool. He's back. He's late for his anniversary with his main squeeze, Vanessa, and then she dead. So again, Wade is dealt a terrible loss. And he sort of, he flicks a cigarette into a bunch of gasoline or whatever.
But that's after he's also lit the the pilot lighter. He's just turned the gas on his stove and oven, and there's just nothing but fumes. And a significant plug for toaster strudels in this movie, in the toaster oven.
Yeah,
which I haven't had a toaster strudel in forever.
It's been a long time. I think what's fascinating is when Colossus comes to his rescue, and Deadpool, Wade Wilson, is literally tore in pieces, and he brings him in a bag back to the X-Mansion. And it's at that point that Wade sort of, you think like he's going to join the X-Men for a second, and they go off on a little ditty, and they show up to try and help out Fire Fist, who we get introduced to.
Is that kid okay?
Yeah.
It's the only negative I'm going to have for this movie Is the kid's accent real, or was that him trying to sound fake? Because it sounded fake.
Yeah.
It sounded like a bad New Zealand accent. But maybe I just don't know the discernible qualities of a New Zealand accent versus an Australian accent. But while Tony, I think, does some research as to whether or not this kid is an actual New Zealander, we have Travis from the Palms who walked in. Busy weekend for you. You got to go look at some up-and-coming things this week, but you came right back to a big opening Deadpool weekend.
Yeah, no, I got the opportunity to see this movie and a couple other ones at the NATO convention, but I can't talk about those. So this movie is absolutely fantastic, and I think it's one of the few sequels that actually holds up to the original. It's rare that happens, but I definitely think that it does.
Travis, you're right. It is so rare that you can capture the magic again and then take it like to another step. To come back, Julian Dennison, Fire Fist, is from Lower Hutt, New Zealand.
So apparently I just don't like the New Zealand accent as a whole.
He is only 15 years old, so that's the other part of it.
So I'm making fun of a fat 15-year-old kid as a fat 36-year-old man.
He was good. That Fire Fist, and again, I don't know a lot about the X-Force, so I'm sure that there are people that are going to go see Deadpool 2 and be like, yes! Now I kind of have a semblance of who Domino is, and she gets introduced later, and luck is truly on her side. But I want to back up for a second. So there's this, because if we're going to kind of go in order, and we are spoiling it, and we already talked about that. So if you're following along, Vanessa, Wade's girl, dead, shows up to the X-Mansion, goes on mission, does not go well. And all of a sudden, our friends are in a jail, right?
Deadpool, the ice box.
Deadpool and Fire Fist find themselves in a jail. Meanwhile, here comes Thanos. I mean Cable. Josh Brolin, who is in... By the way, Josh Brolin, is he the only actor to be in two blockbusters at the same time that are going to...
Within two weeks of each other, right? They came out.
So Avengers Infinity War has almost eclipsed $2 billion. Here comes Deadpool. I just hope that Josh Brolin could spare $5 for us. Because, right?
He's making the bank this week. Definitely making the bank.
It's just one of those things, and he does a great job in all seriousness.
Is Josh Brolin's writer now include that if I'm going to be in a movie, I have to have a metallic left arm? Because he had the gauntlet in Infinity War.
Right.
And now you have Cable's metallic left arm in this movie.
It's so true. Cable is just, he's a BA. And when we meet him, I kind of thought he had to be in some type of future based on some of the things that were going on. And then with a twist of his watch, his whatever, Timex, whatever it was, future watch.
Pun intended.
He goes back to sort of meet up with Fire Fist, who, spoiler alert again, in the future, Fire Fist kills Cable's daughter and wife. So that's the whole thing. That's why we meet Cable and he sort of joins the party.
Can I say, so I'm glad I didn't have the knowledge of whatever backstory that these characters have, because I don't know if it follows the comic books or what have you, but so Cable has this charred teddy bear on his belt, which is very symbolic, and the whole time I'm thinking that he's coming back for Wade, because when he blows himself up in the barrels,
right?
I had envisioned that charred teddy bear was the apartment below them.
Oh, okay.
So that was where my brain was thinking that somehow that was what my brain thought. That's the whole time until there was the reveal that it was the Russell's character. I thought that he was coming back for Deadpool because he killed his family in an adjacent apartment when he blows it up. So
seeing that, I didn't even think about that. But you're right, because when we meet Cable, we automatically assume, Travis, he's here for Deadpool.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he just looks like, for whatever reason, and his technology is amazing, by the way.
With the way they set up the introduction of Cable, I totally felt like it was the same thing. I mean, it was a second, like, charred apartment. I mean, it had to have been something like that Deadpool did. It had to have been Deadpool's fault. I didn't even think about Fire Fist at the time.
I think that Cable's gun is the coolest thing ever. And when he turns the power up on it, or which looks like a volume knob off of a guitar, it just makes the sound, and it's just sort of, you know, something awesome is about. In Deadpool, Wade Wilson, Ryan Reynolds even says, like, that's the best gun ever. Yeah. So it's super cool, I think. When Cable shows up, he breaks into the Icebox prison, and he's ready to go after Firefist, the 14-year-old kid. Because, again, in the future, 14-year-old kid kills his wife and daughter. So, yeah, there's a lot that goes on. But I guess with this being a sequel, if we come back to that, I feel like the pacing was definitely there. The fourth wall breaking, or Ryan Reynolds,
which said, that's so important, because that's what Deadpool did in the comic books too. He broke down that he actually talks to the reader, which he was really the first character that did that.
At one point, he just says, "Ah, just forget it. Cue the music," and you're like, "Yeah, this is what we're here for." So if you're gonna come into this thinking like, maybe it'll be different. Like, certainly the plot and the character developments continue, and we meet a whole bunch of different people. But then it's Deadpool, right? And this is Ryan Reynolds in his element. And I think, you know, obviously I just enjoyed the movie that I sat through, but I really enjoyed all the marketing leading up to it. And I don't even mean the trailers. I just mean, like, the ridiculous things that they would put Deadpool in.
Well, let's talk about the things we loved about it. And I think this thing got me. Obviously, it's so well known from the first Deadpool movie with the opening credits, where it's, you know, it's irreverent and they don't actually tell you anything. They just reference stuff. And this one, they don't do the opening credits until after Vanessa dies.
Right.
And so the opening thing is just like, what the? I mean, and the homage that they pay to James Bond movies.
Amazing.
In the opening part of this, with instead of the camera shutter, it's a cream cheese spreader, which I'm not going to spoil that one for you. I want you to get that reference when you see the movie. But I really loved how they did that. And then they take this vehicle of an irreverent superhero and they just throw caution to the wind, and they just, there's nothing sacred to this. And you have Celine Dion singing the opening credits song. I mean, you start opening credit scene, Celine Dion, final credit scene with Cher, and then dubstep rap.
Right.
And then oratorio choir, which is you have to stay through the credits for that final musical selection.
Travis, when you saw this, were you in a full theater? Did you have the experience that we had where there were, I don't know, 50 or 60 or however many people behind us?
I have a feeling I had a few more people, but yeah. Nice. I mean, it was a full theater.
So there's a couple, and this isn't a critique of the movie nor the audience, but there's some moments where you're laughing and everyone's laughing, and then somebody else, a colossal or whomever, is delivering another line, and you're like, did I just miss something?
I have to say that, like, the most awkward place for people to laugh, I was right at the beginning of the opening credits scene, where it's like, it's so awkward because it's like, you don't want to laugh, but at the same time, what's happening is so ridiculously hilarious that you have to laugh. And there was a few, it took the audience out in the theater I was in a while to kind of like warm up to that opening credits scene.
Yeah, because you just saw Vanessa get gunned down, and I do want to clarify, it's Colossus, because I don't want to get picked apart by the diehard fans. But yes, you're right, when that's going on and they're they're doing the James Bond thing, you're thinking like, is this okay? But yeah, there are some hard laughs and some great references, and the soundtrack again. You know, a fantasy job that I think I would like to try, but, you know, I don't know if I could ever do it. But the people that, like, are like, hey, I got a great suggestion for a piece of music to use in a movie. What a cool gig that is.
Yeah, the music supervisor, where it's just, it's not a, you're not composing anything original. It's like, I really want a Cat Stevens song right now.
Yes. Have you ever wanted to have Barbra Streisand, DMX, and Cher in the same same movie?
I mean, the fact that there is a consistent running reference to the movie Yentl in this is pretty ridiculous. I really enjoyed that much of it, because the music supervision of this is outstanding. I'll say this, okay, I like the movie. It's the storytelling is kind of weak, and I thought the first Deadpool storytelling was kind of weak. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just it is what it is. This is kind of a funny. It's a lot of one-liners. It's like a high teenager who has superpowers. That's basically what Deadpool is. And it's fine. It's really fun to watch, and I'm laughed really hard. I was crying. I was laughing so hard at a couple moments.
Yeah, there were some good moments.
But at the same time, if you are someone who just loves the storytelling of comic books and the deeper aspect of it, then this is more of a palate cleanser from Infinity War. This isn't they're not an apples to apples comparison, which is why I think everybody was okay with having them come out so close together, even though they're from the same, you know, Marvel.
Well, and that, you know, there's two instances in the movie where Deadpool says, that's just lazy writing. So it's almost like they're aware of it. But then there's these sequences where Deadpool dies. I just made air quotes. And then he sees Vanessa and he can't get to her because there's this barrier until he goes on this journey to heal his heart by helping out young Fire Fist. So I thought like that was kind of a surprise because I think that they were trying to put a little bit more substance in it that way. So I enjoyed those sequences. It almost felt like it was a different movie at times, especially at the end. But I don't know. That part worked for me. It's not perfect, but, I mean, this is a summer go-have-fun movie. So for people that are, like, movie critics, and I read some of the reviews, and, you know, if you go to Rotten Tomatoes or wherever and they kind of give you the little gist or the, you know, a little screenshot of the review, you just kind of think, well, okay, but what were you expecting to happen, right?
Yeah. So the lines where they say, is that just lazy writing? I actually think that's amazing writing because that's a recurring motive in Deadpool. Like, it's happened, like, it happened, like, two or three times in the first one, and I think it happened two times in this one. I think that's an amazing, I think that's just an amazing line that they throw in, and it brings consistency among Deadpool. So,
yeah, and one of the coolest moments, I think, for sure, is when they're at the X mansion, and he's like, you know, Deadpool's talking to Colossus, and he's like, the studio couldn't give us another X-Men, a bigger name, and then a door closes, and the camera cuts, and there's, like, Beast, and...
It was almost the whole... X. Yeah,
it was... James McAvoy.
Yeah.
And just, that was, like, perfect, you know?
It was a great cameo. They didn't even have to say anything, and it was hilarious.
And he was sincere, Ryan Reynolds, in the first Deadpool, when he was making reference to the fact that they wouldn't give him anybody, because, again, like I said in the beginning... They said, just fine, stop annoying us, take this money, go make this movie. They didn't think, and I bet they / didn't really want it to be as successful as it was, and then that's how we get a Logan, right? I mean, that's how the movie
Which there's
starts.
A unbelievable right. kickoff with Logan right out the gate.
It starts with Wolverine impaled on like an essential like music box.
It was his alarm clock, was it? I don't know.
It was so, yeah, and I'll say this again. This is one of those Marvel's 20th Century Fox, whatever, Marvel's buying them movies. So stay for the end. I will spoil it enough to say that there is nothing after the credits except a pretty cool tip of the hat to the fact that a character that we haven't even mentioned, and we'll get to this in a second, is still alive, which they also kind of show at the
you
end.
You see it at the end, yeah.
And then there's this little, you know, infograph or whatever, info on the screen that says how many people had jobs from the movie. 15,000 jobs. That's cool, and I know that's so important to Ryan Reynolds.
And it's important. There's some closure to Ryan Reynolds as the Green Lantern,
right,
as well, which I think is extremely important to Ryan Reynolds fans everywhere.
Yeah.
Now we just need a Seth Rogen movie that puts the Green Hornet to rest too.
If you remember seeing Deadpool for the first time when he had that showdown and he couldn't talk against Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, that sequence happens, and then Ryan Reynolds as present day Deadpool shoots up and keeps unloading. I'm fixing the timeline. Like, there's all that. Oh, it was just, that was so gratifying. And I don't want to spoil I know we've spoiled most of it, but there are some pretty sweet cameos.
Yeah.
Including an unreal cameo as Deadpool and his X-Force team start to parachute out. And it's revealed who one of those, you know what I'm talking about, right?
The Vanisher.
Was that, who was playing the Vanisher? Seriously?
And I don't want to spoil that because I want people to experience
it
that.
It was
the same
Gene
way.
Hackman. It was not. Can you imagine if it was?
It was. It was Dennis Hopper.
Yes.
I'm just gonna name other Hoosiers characters. Is he? I don't know.
Dennis, are you out there?
If Dennis Hopper listens to the One Seat Buffer podcast,
that would be awesome.
That would be the that could be my greatest life's achievement.
Yeah, I do want to just run through your cast. Your main contenders here, ladies and gentlemen: Ryan Reynolds, of course, Deadpool. Josh Brolin is Cable. Deadpool does call him Thanos in the movie, which is amazing. Moreno, how do you say your last name?
Bacan.
She plays Vanessa.
She's extremely great. Talented.
Julian Dennison is Fire Fist, and Domino was Zazie Beetz, who unfortunately the stunt double passed away while making this movie.
That's, oh no!
That was one of the things at the end. They said this was in memory of that stunt double, and that was kind of like a nice thing to do. T.J. Miller is back as Weasel. Brianna Hildebrand is Negasonic Teenage Warhead. And then they have listed here Jack Casey as Black Tom Cassidy. So I'm just saying, I'll tell you what. And apparently, and I'm just reading this, it says the writers ultimately felt the film had too many antagonists and that they would rather spend the money needed to portray the character's abilities on another character. And that character was Juggernaut. Travis, did you know that Juggernaut was going to be in this? Because I had no clue.
I had an inkling on it, but that was just from hearsay. I did not actually know anything. The person who I talked to who thought it was going to happen didn't really know. They just were guessing.
Oh, my
gosh.
So
I did talk to somebody who was like, I bet you Juggernaut's going to be in this one.
That was so awesome. So they're in this icebox prison, and Ryan Reynolds tells young Fire Fist, like, you need to befriend the biggest guy here, not try and fight the biggest guy here. And that turns out to be the Juggernaut, who is a CGI character, yes, but just like they made his presence known, Joel.
Well, they really did. And they referenced Juggernaut in some of the earlier X-Men movies. I know he was in another train transport right. scene, I think. And he's a cool character. I was going to say, one thing I learned from this movie is that Juggernaut, they hint that he is Professor X's brother.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Which I don't know enough about the X-Men right. universe to know if that's true or not. But that's why he wears the metal helmet. So his brother, he said, so my brother can't, you know,
that's
see
exactly what,
I'm thinking.
What he says. So my brother can't hear me. And I just felt like, okay. And yeah, you're right. Juggernaut did show up in a previous movie. And he was portrayed by, I think the guy's name was Vinny, right?
Yeah, I think so. But
is
so
that right?
Let's also mention the Zeitgeist character, who's a part of the first iteration of the X-Force.
Right.
Bill Skarsgård, the actor.
Yes,
so
it.
Pennywise.
The guy, Pennywise is there.
Much more comfortable way.
Isn't that fantastic?
So this is
oh yeah.
This is the synopsis okay. of the movie that they expect us to read when somebody asks us what it's about, by the way.
So hold on. Let's just take it back to this process. They send you guys a synopsis so you can essentially sell the movie at the registers?
Yeah. So if somebody comes to a movie and they're like, oh, we don't really want to know what the movie's about. We want what's the movie about? The synopsis that we got from the studio was, after surviving a near-fatal bovine attack, a disfigured cafeteria chef, Wade Wilson, struggles to fulfill his dream of becoming Mayberry's hottest bartender while also learning to cope with his lost sense of taste. Searching to regain his spice for life as well, a flux capacitor, Wade must battle ninjas, the Yakuza, and a pack of sexually aggressive canines as he journeys around the world to discover the importance of family, friendship, and flavor, finding a new taste for adventure and earning the coveted coffee mug title of World's Best Lover.
Wow.
So someone's job was to write that, which I love. I want that job.
Oh, that's so... It's just
inaccurate. Like, if someone read you that synopsis, you'd be like, what? That's not what I saw.
I would feel bad if a couple on a date night happened upon the Palms 10 and they thought, Deadpool 2, never heard of it. Let's go see it. Because this is one of those movies that is like a punch in the face from the jump, and there's a lot of stuff that will make you uncomfortable. But I also feel like enough people will understand after the first Deadpool success. I don't know. I can't sit here and say that everybody knows what Deadpool or Deadpool 2 is or the characters, but Wow, that synopsis is unbelievable. Yeah. That is like, they should just say they electrocute Juggernaut by sticking something in his butt and then...
His prison wallet.
Right, his prison wallet. I just was reading, and this is fascinating. So who played Juggernaut in Deadpool 2? Ryan Reynolds. Because it was just the easy thing to do. Basically, the director, David Leitch, I hope I didn't say his name wrong or liked it. He said it came out of necessity of change, and you're getting into the post-process, and we're like, okay, we need a face animator actor. And I'm in the editing room, and Ryan's writing, and we're like, I'll just do it. And that's what they did. So I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. I thought that was just some actor in a motion cap suit. I did feel like, guys... Colossus looked incredible. If you look at Deadpool, and this is where the budget comes in. If you look at Deadpool and Deadpool 2, at one point in the X-Mansion when he's kind of choking Wade or anytime he's like get in, you know, up close with Deadpool, I felt like that's a costume and they just CGI'd the face. And if that was all CGI, it looks way better.
Yeah, they were able to, you could see the granular structure of the muscle, like, yeah. it was really well done. Like you said, maybe it is a costume, or maybe they actually did have just, who knows what kind of technology they have anymore now. I mean, according to the Hyundai commercials, you can start your car from space when you're on a spacewalk, so maybe they don't have to do a costume anymore. It is CGI, and if Hyundai would like to sponsor the 1C Buffer podcast, we totally would take their money.
Yes, we would. Yeah, so this is just and Rob Delaney is Peter, by the way. Peter is the character that you've seen pop up. Peter has a LinkedIn. I don't know if you know that or not.
No, I didn't.
And they've sort of used this Peter character. He's just kind of like an average dude with a sweet mustache. And he might may or may not be on the old X-Force. That was comedian writer Rob Delaney. So this is just, again, it's a great, like a perfect, I think this is one of those perfect summer movies. Does it have flaws? Sure. I'm not going to sit here and pick it apart for the sake of doing it? No, because I enjoyed it. If would I see it again? Probably, but I would almost want to see it just so that I could hear some of the things that I think I missed. Again, that's my only thing, is a movie like this, there's so many funny moments that you almost feel like you're missing out. So I don't know, Travis, if I can just rent a theater and watch it, or is that possible?
I think you're going to be kind of hard-pressed to just rent it, but I mean, if you want to do something, I'm sure we could work something out.
Okay, good. Maybe I'll just read the script. What does the script look like for this movie, by the way?
It's just... F word on every third line.
Yeah, and I know that TJ Miller's had some kind of weird stuff going on with like calling in bomb threats, but
okay, well, I wanted to bring that up.
Very funny. The dude's very funny.
That's actually who I was more excited to see in this movie than anybody, is TJ Miller. I'm a huge fan of Silicon Valley, and I know he's off of that. But okay, let's not poo-poo the bomb threat thing. It could be, in my opinion, one of the funniest violations of Homeland Security that you probably could encounter. He was on another train. He called in a bomb threat on another train just because he was super drunk. Like, that's basically
what
it was.
That's what happened?
Yeah. So he was arrested Monday night. This is from April 11th at LaGuardia Airport. The 36-year-old actor was accused of intentionally conveying to law enforcement false information about an explosive device. He appeared before the U.S. District Court, yada, yada, yada. But, yeah, he just was hammered at the airport, or riding on a train to the airport. He was like, I'll just call in a bomb threat in New York City. Not cool. But I guess when you're funny and troubled, like you get a little bit of a pass. I don't think the Department of Justice is going to give him a pass. In fact, it sounds like, yeah, he could be. He actually might see some prison time for this.
We didn't know if he was going to get cut, because they certainly. I mean, in April, you're close to the release, so I don't know how much they would have wanted to try and like recast or take him out for something like this.
But if it's you know, Anne of Green Gables remake or something like that, then yes. Sure. I mean, it's not a Kevin Spacey situation where, what was that movie? All the Money in the World.
They just cut
him. It's not, and that movie needed to have somebody that had the highest level of integrity in that character.
Correct.
This character in Deadpool it's kind of believable that the actor may have called in a bomb threat at some point in his life, because the moral compass certainly doesn't point due north for that character. And yeah, it worked. I mean, I don't think it took away.
Well, I think, you know, TJ's got some issues and I hope he gets help, but his character in Deadpool.
He's a Chicago guy?
And Deadpool. I don't know if he is or not. I don't want to claim him with some of the other stuff that he had going on. But the lines that he delivers are fantastic, and it does sort of come back to some things that worked in the first movie. The first movie, we had baby hands. The second movie, we have baby legs. And when he starts to take his first steps, that's what I'm saying. Like, yes, it's rehashed, and it's almost the exact same scene. He's sitting next to the blind lady, and then all of a sudden you see that he's got Deadpool has baby legs.
Why are you holding my hand?
Let's just say Travis is quoting the movie. I wasn't actually holding his hand.
Right, right. That's so. It was. Jeez Louise, everybody. I'm telling you, it's ridiculous. But this is a summer movie. We're a few weeks away from Dinosaurs Chasing Chris Pratt,
which I cannot wait for.
And Ron Howard's daughter, Bryce, again. Okay? So I don't want critics. And I'm not saying that these are similar. Of course they're not. But the same critics that may poo-poo a Deadpool 2 for being rehashed and sophomoric and crude for the sake of being crude, you can't be the same critics that are like, boy, that Fallen Kingdom was really compelling. Those dinosaurs almost got it, and then there was something that happened at the end, and they're going to be back for a third one. I'm going to go see Fallen Kingdom and enjoy it.
Me too.
Don't be that a-hole that does that. I don't think that's fair.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I hope that all these movies that you go to, you have a good time, you come to a place like the Palms or your local theater, wherever you're listening, you get a big old thing of popcorn, or for me tonight, apparently it was Milk Duds and a Sierra Mist, and you have a good time.
And you know what? The movie may be rehashed, but they rehashed it and kept it fresh at the same time. So it was a fresh movie. It was exciting to watch, and it was great to see. And it just gonna see it again. Have to see it again.
Yeah, see it with. I would say see it soon. So whenever you're hearing this, this is one of those movies that people will be coming out to see. And I haven't seen Travis in like a week or two. So are people still coming out to see Infinity War? They have to, based on the numbers. They have to still be here.
Yeah, they're still coming. I mean, it's definitely died down quite a bit. But I mean, a rainy day, any rainy day that comes up, and it's just like everybody's here watching Infinity War still. So it's just too nice of weather for people to be coming out to the movies, though.
I'm telling you what, this is it, y'all. You gotta come and see this with a group of people. I was reading something else that brought up Matt Damon. I don't know. But these characters are great, and they all work together. And I want to go back to that Domino character. She surprised me. I really enjoyed those sequences. And I think that's just it, right? Like, they understand that you're going to come for Deadpool cutting people's heads off with giant swords and doing other ridiculous things, like trying to act like he's going to block Cable's bullets, and he's just getting shot the whole time. Like, that was awesome.
Oh, but if you're listening and you didn't see the first Deadpool and you're not familiar and you haven't turned us off yet, first off, thank you. Secondly, his superpower, mutant power, is he can't die.
Right.
Like, he's immortal.
He cannot go bye-bye, and he tries, and how they're able to do it. And
Groundhog Day elements. That's a little bit with that.
He has there's these collars, because when, and just to back up, so Wade Wilson blows himself up, Colossus picks him up, takes him to the X-Mansion, puts him back together. He kind of joins X-Men as a trainee, which is funny. They show up to this school where they're housing mutant kids and torturing them. They have these collars that suppress their powers. So that comes back into play at the end when Wade takes a bullet that Cable intends to hit Fire Fist. Wade takes the bullet thinking he's going to be reunited with Vanessa, only for her to say it's not your time, as Cable is conveniently twisting his time traveling watch.
Because the X-Force movie has to happen.
That's right. Well, whatever is going to happen, whether it's a Deadpool 3.
Yeah, it's X-Force. I just looked it up.
Is that what's next? Is X-Force?
Yeah, because Josh Brolin's next projects are X-Force, and George Jones and the George and Tammy. It's called George and Tammy. Yeah. He's playing George Jones, the Tammy Wynette and George Jones story.
Plus, we'll see Josh Brolin next May in Infinity War 2.
Well, we'll also see him later this summer.
By the way, what about all the time traveling? Deadpool 2, it's on the watch. Infinity Wars, it's a necklace that comes out under your wrist. Right? The Stone of Time Travel, whichever that one is.
Steve Jobs apparently cracked the code, and Apple Watches are actually the next. Apple Watch 7 is going to be a time travel watch.
If anything, critics, you can note the similarities almost between those two giant movies, Infinity War and Deadpool 2, except there's no snapping of the finger.
Right.
But there are going to be that time travel element that will get introduced to an Ant-Man and the Wasp, everybody.
The other thing, too, is obviously Solo comes out this next week.
Yes.
Memorial Day weekend.
Sure.
And so we're going to want to talk about that next week, hopefully. We all can get together. But I do know we put out on our 1C Buffer Facebook page, which you can go like us on Facebook, subscribe to us on Spotify, on Stitcher, on iTunes. You can find us all in all of your podcast homes now. Like, subscribe, rate, you know, do the whole deal so that we can show people that we actually do this thing. But we talked about documentaries a little bit because we were going to try and get together last week to do a show, and we were unable to. We decided we would be good husbands and actually have Mother's Day with our wives who have mothered children. But documentaries, that kind of came up. We put a question out on our Facebook page, and people wanted to talk about documentaries. And coincidentally, I saw one on Netflix that I hadn't seen yet, and it's called Evil Genius.
Okay.
Have you seen this yet? Okay.
I don't think so.
It's the Duplass brothers. Mark and Jay Duplass put this documentary together. It's a quick one. It's 4 episodes, and it's about the pizza bomber in Erie, Pennsylvania. This happened in 2003. Remember the movie 30 Minutes or Less with the Social Network guy,
Jesse Eisenberg?
So apparently that was loosely based off of a true story. A pizza delivery person was it's called, again, this is a Netflix original, it's called Evil Genius. A pizza delivery person was called to a remote radio tower to deliver a pizza. The next time that person was seen, he was at a bank with a collar bomb strapped around his neck, and he was sent on a scavenger hunt to rob this bank and then gets clues around Erie, Pennsylvania to get the code to take the bomb off and save himself.
Wow.
However, he gets stopped by the cops, and while he was sitting there waiting for the bomb squad to come, the bomb detonates.
Oh.
And the pizza delivery driver was killed. And they show the bomb detonating in the first 30 minutes of this documentary. So, but where I'm going with this is it was really, really well done.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that the people who were involved, it kind of had a Making a Murderer feel to it a little bit in how the documentary was filmed. And it was a really, really good one. And it's one that I would highly recommend. And I also I need to watch Icarus too, which also.
Yeah, I've heard about
it. It won the Academy Award for documentary, which is on Netflix, but it's about the whistleblowers. But our friend Brian, who put a suggestion, he wanted us to talk a little bit about those documentaries, and Making a Murderer was one of them.
Of course.
Did you watch that when it was all the craze?
Yeah, I definitely.
We were working together.
Definitely watched Making a Murderer, and anxious to see what they're going to do with that. I will recommend, if I am going to do this real quick for a documentary, if you have HBO, Andre the Giant. It's fantastic, and I learned an awful lot about Andre the Giant, who was a large man with a big heart and a tough story, and check that out. You know, that's definitely a good one. Like, and again, if you don't have HBO, I understand that it can be tough to find, but I would recommend that. And even if you don't like sports or wrestling, you can still enjoy it. And before we wrap up, I do want to come back to some writers on behind the scenes on Deadpool 2. The writers never get enough love. Would you agree?
Correct.
Okay, I'm going to go real quick and just give a shout out to Rhett Reese. And you might not know the name, but Rhett Reese, everybody, has written things like Zombieland. And
which they just announced that they're making the sequel to Zombieland this week.
He's co-writing Zombieland 2. And he's also going to be co-writing the next film adaptation of Clue. They're going to bring Clue back, everybody.
The game is boring. The movies are bad. I don't like it. And maybe it's just because I matriculated into a nerdish colony.
Ryan Reynolds is in it, you'll probably see it.
Maybe.
Yes. I'm just telling you, he and his co-writer, Paul Wernick, They've been behind all these again. Zombieland, G.I. Joe Retaliation, Deadpool, Life, Deadpool 2, Watch Dogs, Zombieland 2, Clue. They also wrote on the Joe Schmo Show and created it.
That is, have you seen the Joe Schmo Show? Okay.
Joe Schmo. So that's just one of those things, like, you know, the writers, they have an interesting backstory. And yeah, I will tell you this, and I don't want to get off topic too much, but I just randomly the other morning, as I was waiting to take my oldest kid to school, I had HBO on, and the movie Sugar was on, which is a great baseball film.
Yeah.
That was filmed primarily in Davenport, Iowa, and at Modern Woodman Park, which was then home to the Swing of the Quad Cities. It was also filmed while I was in college, and I'm in that movie. I can be seen doing the Macarena, which,
oh my,
I don't remember signing a release, but it's okay.
See Tony Tone in this movie, Sugar.
What I'm getting at is that Ryan Fleck and Anna Boden, who directed Sugar, are the two people directing, ready, Captain Marvel.
Holy buckets.
So just a few years removed, because Sugar came
out. Is this your chance to finally meet your favorite actress?
You can see it on the poster.
Like, yeah, you can see the bridge, yeah.
So Sugar came out in 2008. So 10 years later, I guess it'll be 11 because Captain Marvel comes out 11. Those two go from Sugar and a couple of other random things.
Half Nelson is a decent movie. I've seen Half Nelson.
So you talk about Marvel just sort of picking and choosing directors and, you know, co-directors and directing teams that almost leave you scratching your head. I'm super excited about that, and I'm glad I was able to kind of weave that into this podcast, because
so they
I came across that.
Ryan Fleck, or the Fleck guy, is it Ryan? Did I say that right?
Correct.
He wrote and was involved with Len Bias 30 for 30.
Okay.
As well, I just saw that. It's amazing how that 30 for 30 has kind of was like a breeding ground for the new wave of directors. You know, we both are fans of Bill Simmons, and, yes, and we kind of, we modeled some of our thoughts after, I think, at least I do. And just, it's cool to see these movies kind of grow. I mean, you're seeing it with Black Panther. Well, you think we'll see a Brown Panther sequel?
Such a great line.
There's a great line in Deadpool about, was it Deadpool? Is that how you say his name?
It's just such, there's so many good lines.
So we do have a big summer of movies coming up.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Give me the three that you're most excited to see from this point forward.
Jeez.
Or maybe just one.
Okay. I'm on the fence about Solo. I want to see it. I feel like, based on the movies that I've seen, I should. Ocean's 8 looks enjoyable. I will probably see Incredibles 2 with my kids. Definitely want to check out Jurassic World, Fallen Kingdom, and Sicario, Day of the Soldado.
But another Josh Brolin.
Right?
It's the performance.
Summer of Brolin! This is the summer of Brolin, and we're okay with it. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot more to come, y'all. Ant-Man and the Wasp.
That's the one I... So, Mission... I wasn't excited about Mission Impossible until I saw the trailer before this movie. It's... The way that they incorporate, whoever sound edited that trailer should win an award just for that.
It's so good.
Are there any movies that are like, I think about all the movies that you and I have seen together in the last 2 years, and they're all good for the most part. I'm trying to think of any just absolute eggs that have been laid.
Sure.
But the one that I kind of come back to that I really like, one of the ones I've liked the most the last 2 years, has been The Post, which is not a big budget, big bells and whistles. It's Steven Spielberg doing Steven Spielberg things. I mean, I'm wondering what that next movie like that comes out, is that kind of historical. And Dunkirk is up there for me too. So maybe I just lend to go more towards the historical side. I'm just hoping that after the summer of blockbuster after blockbuster, I look forward to the fall almost, because that's when we start to get some of those where I get to think again.
Academy Award movies. I think Isle of Dogs would be that for me. A little
Show Dogs, right?
The one no, Wes Anderson's Isle of Dogs.
I know.
That'd be a good little palate cleanser. But we're going to wrap this up because it's getting late when we're recording this. And we hope you do check out future episodes of the One Seat Buffer podcast. We always ask, would you break the One Seat buffer, Joe and I sat next to each other at this movie, so we didn't even have an opportunity to have a seat open between us.
And I would break the one seat buffer with this one.
Oh yeah.
This is one that, you know, I've seen, and now I have a feeling I'm going to have friends who are going to be like, I wish I had seen it. And I'll go to it again with some folks. I mean, yeah. Just to experience the other people laughing. That's one of the things I love about movies.
It's just ridiculous. So, yes, you should see Deadpool 2. And, again, you know, I say this. We record this after watching it at the Palms 10 Movie Theater. We appreciate the support from Fridley Theaters. This is our local theater. Go to your local theater where people are working. Do not steal this at home. Come out to a movie, you know, get some concessions and see it with people. I couldn't imagine seeing this. And I know that I said earlier I want to watch it by myself again to not miss any of the lines, but it wouldn't be as funny if I did. So you need to come and see Deadpool 2 and have fun.
I agree 100%. Should we awkwardly sign off now?
I'll tell you what, it's rated R for a reason. That's the last thing I want to say. And stick around just for some fun in the credits. And don't be the person that gets up. I almost said, again, I wanted to say, there's going to be something that happens.
But I'm at the point where that's not our job.
I know, and we talked about that too. But I almost like want Travis or somebody from the Palms, like, you should have one of the young kids walk in with a poster board that just says, don't leave your seat. Stay. It's a Marvel movie. Something's going
to
happen.
I used to do that. Well, maybe not quite to the extent that you're saying, but it just, no, it's not my responsibility anymore. You know.
It's just the worst if you end up Googling what happens. It's like, you were so close to the... Anyways, go see Deadpool 2, and I hope that if you've made it this far, we appreciate you. And unlike Ryan Reynolds at the end, we're going to really wrap this thing up. That was pretty good, though, when he kept not dying. Oh, are you guys seeing that light? It's so bright. Oh, it's just the sun. You shouldn't look at it. It's not good for you. That stuff was amazing. Like that, yes, brilliant. All right, so for Tony Tone.
Joel Krausar.
And Travis Cadle.
This is the One Seat Buffer Podcast, Deadpool 2 edition. Go see it, you mother...